Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're talking about moving forward into your calling, moving forward into your destiny. Each of you were uniquely created in the image of God. That's Genesis 1:26. You were created in His image. And just as God has creative attributes and the ability to create, you see His creation every day when you look out the window or when you see the magnificence of His creation here on this earth. You see His creative attributes. And so too, because you have been created in the image of God, you also have His creative attributes. And God's will is that after you are born again, after you receive the gift of salvation and go through the born-again experience, and now you are walking as a child of God here on this earth, you're no longer the same. You no longer see the world the same or see yourself in the world the same, that you go forth with the authority, you go forth with the power, you go forth with the boldness and the confidence to minister here on this earth the way God has designed for you, the way God has ordained you to, and the way God has declared over you that you will minister, that you will share the gospel, that you will let that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving gospel of Jesus, that you will let that good news come forth out of you, and you will be an ambassador for the kingdom here on this earth. That is His will for you. And so I'm going to tell you how you can do that here in this message today. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, if you have your Bible there, turn it to 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and we'll start there. It says, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will do it." Or some translations say, "And He will see it come to pass." And so God is the one who gives you your calling. God is the one who speaks over you even before you were born, that He is going to declare your purpose here on this earth, that He does declare your purpose here on this earth. And so faithful is He who calls you, and He will see it come to pass. God has ultimate faith. He has the ultimate faith to see everything accomplished that He has declared. He has the ultimate faith to make it happen, and not only to declare it, but to see it come to pass. But when you consider this scripture for your own life, many people will say, "Well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God." And so they wait and they wait and they wait, and months go by, years go by, decades go by, then their whole life goes by, and there they are on their deathbed or at the end of their days, and they say, "I never did really accomplish anything for the kingdom because I'm still waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on God." It says here, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will do it." Well, beloved, it doesn't work that way. God declares over you His will, His purpose for your life, your calling, but then you have to come into agreement with what God has declared over you. You have to move forward and declare in your own life and decree in your own life that you are willing to move forward in the open doors or through the open doors that God has for you, that you are willing to move forward through those open doors, and as God will do it, you also will do it. And so you are in partnership with Him. You are moving forward by His strength, by His power, by His divine appointment, by His divine declaration through the doors that He opens for you. You can't just sit back and say, "Okay, God, you do it. You do everything." Jesus isn't coming back to live your life for you. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit to counsel us, to give us direction, to show us the truth in all things, even things yet to come. But Jesus isn't going to come back and live your life for you. You have to step out with faith. You have to step out with the faith of God that He places within you, and you step out and serve. You step out and move the kingdom of God forward. That is God's will for your life. And God doesn't keep moving the goalposts when He declares over you certain things that He wants to see happen in your life. That is a fixed goal for now, anyway, for today, for this day. That is a fixed goal. And so you can pray And when God opens the door for you, it may be a small opening for something for you to do, to minister in some small way. Maybe it's to go visit a neighbor and share the gospel with them. Maybe it's to go visit somebody in prison and share the gospel with them. Maybe it's to visit somebody in the hospital or to get involved in a ministry, take a short-term mission trip, whatever it is. The opening will be there, and that is the goal for that day, for that moment, and you seize that moment, you seize that day, and you move forward with the strength, with the confidence, and the boldness that God has for you, knowing that that is what He wants you to do. And again, He doesn't keep moving the goalposts. When you get that mission accomplished, yes, there will be a new open door, and there will be a new goal for that day and for that moment, for that season. But when you say yes to the Lord and you come into agreement with what He has spoken over your life, what He has declared over you, then you move forward understanding that God expects us to serve and God expects us to move forward and God expects us to use those abilities, those attributes, those gifts that He has given us to move the kingdom forward here on this earth. Well, in Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "Even the Son of Man," and He was speaking about Himself, "He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Well, we know Jesus eventually went to the cross. He gave His life. He shed His precious blood for us. The ultimate example of sacrifice, the ultimate example of service, and the ransom that He gave was His very own life, His very own blood. I doubt if very many of us will be called to that extent, to give to that extent. Some of you may be called to give to that extent. But whatever it is, God opens the door for you, you be willing to serve. That is our goal. That is our mission. That is our purpose here on this earth. And whatever your secular job is, or your position here on this earth, whatever it is, as a teacher, a doctor, a person who works in the medical field, or whatever it is you're doing for a living, your higher calling, your higher purpose is to serve God and to move His kingdom forward, to serve others with the power of God and to move His kingdom forward. Jesus again said He didn't come to be served, and so we can't sit around and expect to be served and at the same time expect the favor and blessings of the Lord to be poured out on our life. We can't just sit back and say, "Okay, God, You do it," and expect other people to serve us. That isn't the way it works. You have to get involved. You have to put forth your feet and your hands and become the servant of God to serve your fellow man here on this earth. Well, Jesus transferred the authority to the disciples before He left this earth, before He went to the cross. He transferred the authority to the disciples. He did that in Matthew 28:18. He said, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth." And then He said, "Go therefore," verse 19, "and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." And so we have that authority as disciples of Jesus. We also have that authority. You have authority as a believer to go and lay hands on people and you will see the sick recover. You have authority to pray for people. You have authority to take dominion over the demons of hell in people's lives, over cities, over nations. You have that authority, but you will never know that authority until you exercise it. You will never have that authority appropriated into your life and be transferred into your life unless you exercise it. It'd be like having the position of being a policeman, but if you never put on the badge and the gun and went out and patrolled the streets, you would never know that you had that authority. And so it is with the kingdom of God. You have the authority, but until you exercise it, you don't realize that you have it, and it really is of no good to you. And so God wants us to exercise that authority. He wants us to move forward in the kingdom and to use the authority that he has given to us, the same authority that was given to the apostles who started off the first church, the New Testament church, in the book of Acts. And so when you have that authority and you exercise it, then you will see the kingdom of God is at hand. You will see the kingdom of God move forward in your life, and you will be a part of the greatest move of God here on this earth. You will be a part of the greatest story ever told. In Acts 13, verse 1, we see a picture of some of God's disciples that are meeting to pray about how they are going to minister, what they're going to do to help move the kingdom forward. And we'll take it up here in Acts 13:1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Well, there's a couple things to note here. Number one is that they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Well, how do you minister to the Lord? You pray, you worship, you fast, you wait on the Lord, you say, "Lord, I'm here to serve you." You offer yourself up as a minister to the Lord. You offer yourself up as someone who is waiting on the Lord, serving the Lord, and you say, "Lord, I am willing to serve. Lord, I am waiting on you to give me direction. Lord, I am waiting on you to send me. Lord, I am waiting on you to show me an open door where you want me to go." And as you wait on the Lord and fast and pray, then God will open the door for you. He will show you where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do, and how he will accomplish it in your life. So as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then out of these five men, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Set aside for me Saul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them to do." And so God had work for them to do. The Holy Spirit relayed it to these men that he wanted Saul and Barnabas to do this work. The Holy Spirit knows the truth in all things, and out of these five men, there was two that were picked, there was two that were chosen, and the Holy Spirit said to these five, so there was agreement that these two would be the ones that would be separated out, and they would be sent. And so this is how Saul was separated out to do the work of the Lord. He was sent out to Macedonia, to Greece, to Rome, possibly even to Spain. He was sent out over whole regions of the earth to share the good news of the gospel. Barnabas walked with him on many of those trips, on many of those journeys, and then Barnabas separated from Saul or Paul at that time, and he went on his own journeys. But the Holy Spirit spoke to them. There was agreement that these were the two men which were to be separated, and the Holy Spirit said, "These are the two men that I want to send out and share the gospel in the region." And so this was the first great missionary journey. This was the first great missionary mission trip, you might say, that was in the kingdom of God. And so Paul then went on to write 13 books of the Bible. He went on to be a great minister, planted churches all over these regions, these nations that he went to. And so that is God's will also for us. We see in that example that they fasted and prayed. And so if you are asking the Lord and seeking the Lord and say, "God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How can I move forward in the kingdom? What is your perfect will?" You need to fast and you need to pray. Jesus went up into the wilderness area in Matthew 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus was led up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And verse 2, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And of course we know then that the devil came to him, tempted Jesus three different times, trying to tempt Jesus away from the plan that God had for his life, trying to tempt Jesus to get him to weaken and to lose his resolve. And the devil will always do that. He will always try and come and get you to weaken and change your mind, get you distracted and thinking about things of the world and thinking about things of your own needs, your own pleasures, your own entertainment, instead of seeking the will of God for your life. But Jesus was steadfast. Jesus had his eyes fixed on serving the Lord Jesus. He did not come to serve himself. He did not come for others to serve him, but he came to serve others and to do the will of God in his life. And in verse 17 in Matthew 4, it says, from that time, this is after the temptation, after Jesus had successfully withstood the temptation of the devil, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so Jesus was a great preacher. It is God's will that you open your mouth and share the gospel. It is God's will that you be a preacher. Maybe you can open up a ministry on Facebook. Maybe you can open up a ministry in the prison. Maybe you can open up a ministry with street people or people in the jail here in this city or some other city. And it is God's will then that you open up your mouth and be a witness and a testimony of what God has done in your life, that others may know the power of the kingdom, that others may know the power of God's saving grace, that others may know the joy that comes with walking with him and with serving with the Lord God Almighty. Well, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, and Timothy, we know, was an understudy, or Paul was a mentor to Timothy, and so Paul was raising up this younger man, this spiritual son. He was raising him up to do the work of the gospel, to do the work of an evangelist, to go into the places where Paul had been. And so Paul was mentoring this young man to take over when Paul was going to be leaving. Paul knew that he was going to be leaving, and so he was bringing up this young man to take the steps that Paul had taken and to share the gospel in many lands. And Paul said, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, because Paul was a prisoner at that time, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. And so Paul is telling Timothy, I laid hands on you, I gave you an impartation of my anointing, I gave you an impartation of my gift, and when I sent you out, Paul says to Timothy, I sent you out with power and with discipline and love and a sound mind. And so if you lack those things, if you lack the power, if you lack the love and sound mind, you pray for God to give you power, you pray for God to give you a sound mind, and of course you need love. You have to love people in whatever condition they're in, whatever sin they're in. You have to love them, whatever racial or ethnic group they're in. You love them just as they are. You love them just as Jesus loved them. And you go to them and you minister the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the love that Jesus has for them. You minister to them and you say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you will see God work through you. You will see the miracles of God work through you. You'll see the anointings that you have, the gifts that you have, work through you and be able to impart that into other people. And then in verse 8, 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, Paul said, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, Paul, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Well, you're going to suffer, beloved. You're going to suffer persecution. Some people may even want to try to kill you. If you go into some of the places that I've been in, you may have to scoot out of town, or you may have to go to your hotel and get out of the way of certain people, because there may be some people that come against you, even physically, and threaten you or do something that would frighten you. But when you have the power and you don't have any fear, and when you have love for those people, you can even stand up and minister to those who might hate you, or those who might want to destroy you, or those who might be speaking against you. You can minister to them. And if you have the faith and no fear, if you have the faith that God is with you, you have the faith that God is able to keep you and protect you, you can stand up and minister to people, or you can go and minister to people with the strength and the courage that God would have you to do. Well, Paul said that you're going to have sufferings. We know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, suffered. He went to the cross. He died for us. And so we know we're going to suffer. And so we join with him in sufferings. And we appreciate the sufferings. When we are ministering the gospel, we take joy in the sufferings. And we know that it's going to come. We know persecution is going to come, because the message of the gospel is hated by the world, because the world is full of sin. The world loves its sin. The world doesn't want to be reminded that it loves its sin. And so the message of the gospel will be hated by all. But when the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin, when the Holy Spirit comes into people's lives and convicts them of their sin, then they know they need a Savior. And those people are the ones who embrace the gospel. Those people are the ones who embrace Jesus' love for them and his sacrifice for them, and they understand then the need for them to be born again. They understand the need that they have to reject sin in their life, to repent of the sin in their life, and to move forward then in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away." And so when someone receives Jesus Christ as their Lord, then they are a new creation. And that has probably happened to many of you. It happened to me. And that is God's will, and his purpose for you is to go to minister to people so that they will be a new creation. Well, back to the scripture in Acts 13, we see that Paul and Barnabas have now been separated and have been set aside to do the will of God. In verse 3, having fasted and prayed and laying hands on them, they sent them away. So the others who weren't called, they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them away, and they were still fasting, they were still praying, they were still receiving the message from the Holy Spirit. These are the two, and this is the work that I've called them to do. And so then in verse 4, here goes the mission trip. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. So they picked up an assistant. Now there's three of them, and they're going on the mission trip. And they're going to the remotest parts of the earth at that time to take off in a boat across the Mediterranean Sea was a pretty courageous thing, and to go places unknown to them. And they had no idea exactly what was waiting for them. They just knew that this is what the Holy Spirit had called them to do. And this is what they were separated to do, the work that the Holy Spirit had called them to do. Well, beloved, there's ways that you can get involved with Gather the Outcast Ministry. You may want to go to Africa with us. We're taking a team next summer, leaving in July for 2 weeks for this American team. You'll be there for 2 weeks. I'll be going on to preach in other parts of Africa. But there's ways that you can get involved through Gather the Outcast Ministry. You can go to Africa. You can also send your donation. You can send provisions so that we can accomplish the work of the Lord there and serve the orphan children of Kenya. We're building an orphanage in West Kenya to be a home for 30 children who are orphaned by the HIV/AIDS epidemic. And you can also make a donation to sponsor children at a children's school that we're partnering with. There's many ways that you can get involved. You can get involved in the prison ministry. You can get involved here in America. And God is waiting for you. He has separated you. If you're born again, he has separated you for the work, and he is now calling you to do it. And I invite you to join this ministry in the many projects that we're doing. I invite you to join this ministry and get started ministering, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, we're having contact information coming up right at the end of this message, and then there'll be some great worship music to finish out the hour. Again, I invite you to support this ministry. I invite you to make a donation. If you make a donation of any amount, we'll send you a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa, in appreciation of gratitude, a response of gratitude to your donation. We'll get this book into your hand, and we invite you to pray for the ministry, to bless this ministry with your donations, to see that this radio broadcast keeps coming to you each and every Sunday. And we thank you for listening today. And tune in again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.